Please turn this evening to Matthew chapter 13 and verse 45. Matthew 13 and verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Just two verses. One of the very short parables of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, but a very striking parable and a very profound parable containing much more than meets the eye when we read it superficially, as I hope to show this evening. It speaks here of a merchant man, and as it does so, it pictures each and every one of us as a merchant, as a trader. I wonder if you've ever thought of your life in that way, buying and selling. It used to be said that England is a nation of shopkeepers. Don't know to what extent that is true today, but perhaps there are some of you here and you have your own business. And so when we begin to speak of a merchantman or a trader, you have some inkling, some idea of what is in mind. But in our society today, you don't have to be a businessman to own a business to be a trader. Up and down the country, sadly, so often on the Lord's Day, there are the boot sales. And so many flock to the boot sales, and ordinary people just carry a bundle of stuff and they put it on a table and they sell it. They're trading. And who here doesn't have an eBay account? It's so easy these days to be a trader, to buy things and to sell things and to seek to make a profit. And the life of a trader is an interesting one, a very demanding one, as is our life. It is something that consumes us. And whether you're sleeping or waking, if you're a trader, it's never far from your mind. You're always thinking about your particular trade. You've got to be. You've got to be on the ball. You can't afford a moment or to relax and to let it go, because you may miss that special opportunity. Something may happen where there is a downturn that you hadn't anticipated. And so as a trader, you have to be constantly busy. And you know, that's just like us, particularly before we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour and our Lord. We're engaged in the trade of this world. We are buying and selling. We are giving out and we are taking in. We're looking to make some kind of profit, something out of our lives. And we have to invest time and energy and thought. We have to be constantly on the go. Indeed, in the moments when perhaps we don't give ourselves to the trade of this world, that's when thoughts that are unwelcome come into our minds. That maybe I have to give an account one day for the life that I'm leading. And so, generally speaking, across the populace, people who have no interest in spiritual things, we see them just throwing themselves with almost unbounded energy into the things of this world, trading in those things, the buying and the selling, the giving out and the taking in, seeking to fulfill the deepest and greatest needs of their soul by what this world has to offer. A couple of things generally about trading. I've mentioned that traders have to be very busy, but traders also have to be optimistic. If you're in a particular line of business and a number of the deals that you've been engaged with haven't been successful, as a trader, you have to be optimistic. Well, I know I've had a run of things that have gone against me, but the next deal, the next thing is going to be the one that I'm going to turn the corner and I'm going to be comfortably off and I'm going to be well provided for the rest of my life. And that's what it's like for us before we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. We might look at our lives from time to time and see the disappointments. We might see that the things that we've invested time and energy and heartache to pursue, and the promises of the world that have disappointed us. And we see these things And we see that time after time, the deals, if we can call them that, that we've made with the world have been unsuccessful. But we maintain a supreme optimism. The next thing that I pursue is going to be the one that is going to give me lasting satisfaction. The next thing that I pursue, the next thing that I chase after is going to be the one that finally gives me all that I need for to meet the deepest cravings of my soul. Well, we'll say a little bit more about that in just a moment. But from time to time, a trader needs to take stock, needs to go into the warehouse, needs to look at what it is that he has amassed, needs to seek to balance the book, to see what profit overall the trade, the business has made. And in a sense, I'm asking you this evening, as a trader, picturing your life as a trader, to, for a moment or two to take stock, to evaluate your life. What am I worth? What have I accomplished? Have I made any profit in this trade of life? Or have I sustained loss after loss after loss? What am I worth? Well, in the parable, we're told of this merchant man who traded in pearls. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. He traded in pearls. I want to ask the question, what are we trading in? What is it that is the trade of your life, of my life? What is it that we've given ourselves to, hoping that by these means we'll gain inner satisfaction and meet the deepest cravings of our soul? He traded in pearls, but the sad reality is, and here I'm hoping to show, this is where I think the parable is so greatly profound, I'm going to show four grades of trader. This man traded in pearls. But before we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not trading in anything of value. We're only trading in the worthless, the valueless, the things that are broken, the things that don't work. Now, I'm ever so sorry to draw an illustration from contemporary culture. In fact, I'm probably showing my age because it's not now quite so contemporary. But if you ever do watch the television, there are programs where are portrayed usually men who are traders in the worthless. I'm thinking of the Arthur Dailies of this world and the Del Boys of this world. The men who go out and they see something and it looks like a bargain. They think it's something that's going to make them a lot of money, and they buy big. They fill their warehouse, their stockroom with these things, only to discover that they are fake. Only to discover that they are broken. Only to discover that they are valueless. And as we watch programs of that kind, we may smile as we see them portrayed. Oh, but be careful. Because what you're seeing portrayed before you is simply an illustration of how we must live our lives if we don't have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour and our eternal friend. If we don't have the Lord Jesus Christ and we don't know him, we are compelled to trade in the trinkets and the shiny things that this world has to offer, and that's all. Just the things that we can have and hold and touch and enjoy. Things that are tangible, things that are material, things bound by time and nothing else. Now, some of you are young, and I want to ask you, what is it that you aspire to? What is it that you are giving your lives to? As most of you know, I work in a school, and repeatedly I hear the very unwise advice, just make sure you get your qualifications. Now, I'm not trying to denigrate qualifications in any way, but what is portrayed to young people is if you work hard and you get your qualifications, that's going to set you up for life. You get your GCSEs, you get your A-levels, you get perhaps into the university of your choice, you get your degree, and you're going to be set up for life. But we see countless examples of people who follow this path, who go after these things, only to find them empty and hollow. And these things in and of themselves, they are valuable, they have value, but they are nothing in comparison to the needs of the soul. So be careful what it is that you pursue. Perhaps for others, it's financial security. Or if only I could be financially secure, have an adequate balance of funds in my bank account, so that I would have no further financial worries for the rest of my life. Then I'd be happy. Oh, but there are countless examples of people who have become wealthy, only to discover that wealth in and of itself is meaningless. It actually isolates you from other people. It makes you lonely, increases your anxiety. Yes, it purchases physical comforts, perhaps a nice house, a decent car, and maybe things that you wouldn't have enjoyed otherwise. But so often we find that those who come into great wealth find it to be a very troubling thing. And we hear of depression and anxiety being the lot of those who know great wealth. And so the pursuit of wealth as an objective, as the end, as a thing that will give us that satisfaction that we want, we'll find to be empty and hollow. Well, whatever we might consider, whether it's just pleasure, and that's the great mantra of today, just do what makes you happy. Just do what brings you pleasure. And we see people who are pleasure seekers, and they have to go for ever greater thrills to give them the buzz that once they had with something smaller. And pleasure itself cannot ultimately satisfy. And its pleasure and its satisfaction is transient at best. And all then you can do is go for something bigger, better, more dangerous, or whatever it might be. And these things can never satisfy the deep needs of our soul. Fame, looks, possessions, homes. Well, these are the things of this world that we are confined to. To trade in those things and to pursue a profit from those things alone if we don't have the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that you? Does that describe you? You may hear the gospel. You may know the truth of the word of God. But if you've never come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the best I can say to you is just be honest with yourself. Take stock of your life. You're giving yourself to things that are empty, hollow, and cannot really satisfy. You know, when you begin to take these things seriously, and you look back on your life and you think, yes, I've given myself to this pleasure, to this accomplishment, to this possession, to the best of this or the best of that, and I can see it now. I can see it now. These things can never really satisfy. You know, if you were in business, if this was a business and you were taking stock, you would have shut up shop long ago. Yet amazingly, we continue to pursue these things and give ourselves to these things, which are valueless all the days of our lives, unless the Lord intervenes and shows us better. Oh, do take stock. Have an honest assessment of the things that have meant so much to you and that you've been trading in. These things will only cost you your time, your years, all of your resources, your energy, so much heartache. So very often these things erode away your character and your high ideals when young become compromised as you go further along the journey of life. And these are losses, these are costs to you with nothing in return. Oh, do take these things seriously. But there's a second grade of trader, and I want to get to that. It may be that you have seen through this world and you know in your heart of hearts that this world cannot really satisfy the deepest needs of your soul and you want something better. Well, this merchant man traded in pearls. And pearls do have value. some pearls are very valuable. And although they are in the wild, in their natural form, quite rare, to possess a naturally formed pearl, well, that's something that has value. And it may be that some of you ladies here are even wearing pearls. I don't know. Naturally occurring pearls have value because, unlike a gemstone which requires processing, a natural pearl is just that. It's naturally occurring and it has a beauty and an iridescence. You pick up a pearl and hold it to the light and you see the shimmering colours. Very beautiful. Perfect spheres are very rare, and I suppose in some ways, rather sadly, pearls are devalued today because they can be artificially produced by putting a little piece of grit into the shell, so that the nacre then is formed around that irritant within the shell. So knowing that, it's possible to produce them artificially, and therefore that rather undervalues the naturally occurring pearls. But pearls have value. And it may be that, having seen through this world, that you're now a trader in things that do have some value. And the things that mean so much to you, and the things that you would love to see fulfilled in your life, there is value in them. Let me make a few suggestions as to what you might be trading in if you've moved on to pearls. It may be that you're seeking to live an upright moral life. And that's a valuable thing. That's a wonderful thing. It does have value. And it's comparatively rare in our day to see that upright moral life. But that's not sufficient, is it? Simply to live with that outward veneer of respectability, to be known as someone who follows a set of rules, to be known as somebody who has a conscience about certain things and would never seek to transgress known boundaries in that way. But what about what goes on within us? What about the inner workings of our heart? Yes, to have an upright moral life has value, but that's insufficient because it doesn't touch the real essential me, the person that's deep within. It doesn't actually meet the deepest need of my soul, which is the forgiveness of my sins. I need a new heart. I need a new character. I need to have my life made over anew. It doesn't touch that, merely to have that upright moral life. It has value, but it's not the real thing. It may be that one or two of you young people, as you think about the careers that you pursue, you want to make a difference to other people. That's a second pearl. It's something very valuable. And it's very lovely to see in a youngster that great desire to live a life that is useful to other people. I'm not interested in pursuing wealth. I'm not interested in the trinkets of this world. I want to follow a career where I can make a real difference to other people's lives. That has value. And we commend all decisions of that kind. Those are wonderful things and aspirations to have. But you know, even if you were to pursue a lifetime of doing good to others, you can only touch and only help the outward man. And so if you're able to bring food to the hungry, clothing to those who are without clothes, help of that kind, homes for people, all of those kind of things, they're valuable, we commend them, but they themselves are not the real thing, because you can't touch or make a difference to the inner person. Oh no, though that has value, don't mistake that for what is intended here in the parable. Maybe, here's my third pearl, it may be that you aspire to live a devout and a religious life. Many of you here, your faces are familiar, even from the few times that I've come to minister the word of God among you. And I see that you're always in your place. You wouldn't be missing. But do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you come to trust him? Or is your religion merely an outward religion, that observance for its own sake? Yes, it's valuable. It's a wonderful thing to be found in the household of God, to join your voice singing the praise of our Saviour. But if you've never come to know him, oh, that's empty. And it's not a real kind of religion. It's valuable. It's a wonderful thing. And I would never want to say anything that would stop you from coming and hearing the words of life. But you need something deeper. It's a pearl. It has value. But we must go much deeper even than that. So there's our second class of trader. The first class, not even trading in anything valuable. The second, trading in pearls. But now our trader, we're told, this merchant man went about seeking not just pearls, but the very best of pearls. Seeking goodly pearls. The most valuable. The most well-formed. The most beautiful pearls that he could find. He wasn't interested in any old pearl. He had a collection of pearls at home. That was his stock in trade. He had many pearls. He didn't need any ordinary pearls. Now he was looking for the very finest of pearls. And it may be that if you've become awakened to your spiritual need, that you're beginning to aspire to trade in goodly pearls, the very best of pearls. Again, let me make a couple of suggestions. Here's a goodly pearl. Oh, if only I could possess the forgiveness of my sins. If only I could know that my sins were forgiven. That's a wonderful pearl to have. Surely, to pursue that, to look for pearls of that kind is a wonderful thing. Well, yes, it is. It's a wonderful thing to desire to have your sins forgiven. But it isn't sufficient. Here's another goodly pearl. Many of us, even those who are not worshippers in church, are searching for this goodly pearl. Oh, to know that at the end of my life, I'm going to go to heaven. What a goodly pearl that would be. To have that assurance, to know with certainty that when my life comes to an end, I'm going to that glorious and happy and pain-free and full of light place in heaven. That's a wonderful pearl. That's among the very best of pearls to seek. But if you're seeking that, and that is as far as you go, that's insufficient. No, if these things are on our minds, then we've really missed the point. And this trader, even though he was looking for goodly pearls, and he had a fine collection, perhaps, of the very best pearls at home that he'd amassed over the years that he'd been trading in these things. I imagine that he turned a corner or he went to a market stall and there it was. A pearl such as he had never seen before. Now, he knew pearls. He knew a good pearl from a bad pearl. But even this hardened trader in pearls was absolutely gobsmacked by this pearl when he saw it. It took his breath away. Oh, he could hardly believe his mouth would have hung open as he viewed this pearl such as he had never seen before. And that's what it must be for us. You know what that pearl is, that great pearl, that one pearl of great price? It is our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a great picture of him. And you know, you may have come to church countless times. You may know the teaching of the Word of God. But if you catch a sight of the Lord Jesus Christ in all his beauty and his glory, then everything else becomes second rate by comparison to possessing him. And to have our soul's needs met, and to make a real profit, as it were, in life, we must possess the Lord Jesus Christ at all costs. And it may be that as we hear of him, though we've heard of him often, suddenly it hits home and strikes us. that he is the one thing that I need. And I am prepared to give up all else besides to have him. And that's how the parable reads. You know that. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Once he saw that pearl of great price, that one pearl, I imagine it to be the size of a football. Maybe I'm being slightly ridiculous, but so big and so perfectly formed and so beautiful and so evidently naturally formed that it was just astonishing. And he was prepared to sell everything else that he had, his pearl collection, his home, everything, so that he could possess this pearl. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is just like that. When you begin to have an understanding of who he really is, well, he is naturally formed. He is what he is because of who he is. He is the second person of the glorious Godhead. But the God-man, he came into this world. He lived a perfect life. And that perfection that we see in the Lord Jesus Christ is because of who he is, the wonder of his being. And pick him up, as it were, taking the illustration of a pearl. Turn him as you will. Look at him from any angle, and all you'll see is unblemished beauty and glory. Every one of the attributes of the Lord Jesus Christ, so wonderful to behold. Hear his words, so full of compassion and concern for the people. Hear of his actions, the things that he did. Great works of mercy and of grace. Always giving out and blessing others. Ultimately, of course, going to the cross of Calvary. There, bearing in his own body, on behalf of his people, eternity. An eternity of woe and of punishment. We can't conceive how it could possibly have been compressed into those few hours that he hung upon the cross. And yet we know that it is so, because we're told it in the Word of God. And we know that he bore it. And he bore it not only in a sense that like a gushing torrent upon himself, but he bore it feelingfully for each and every individual for whom he suffered and he died. We know that he bore those pangs for me, for you, if you've sought and found him, for each one who is a child of his. He had us in his mind's eye as he bore the pain that we should have bore, and he bore it all away. And then, of course, he said, "It is finished, paid in full." And though placed in the grave, he rose victorious over the grave, over sin, over the enemy of our souls, and ever lives to make intercession for his people. Absolute beauty, glory, and wonder when we consider the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, of infinite value. All the value of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can consider that, of course, in his person and in his attributes. Every one of his attributes of infinite value and perfect and wonderful and glorious. But of course, his sacrifice is of infinite value. All the value of the sacrifice of the Saviour there upon the cross. Because there, as he suffered in that way, it was to secure for us eternal blessings. And that value, that sacrifice, and its value is applied. You know, we see the value of that sacrifice not only in the excruciating agony that he endured for his people, but also the way in which every one of his promises to bless is fulfilled. None who have applied to him for pardon and forgiveness have been turned away. None conscious of their need, come to an end of their own resources, casting themselves upon his mercy, have been rejected. So great is the value of his sacrifice on behalf of his people. Oh, if only I could find words somehow to convey just how glorious Jesus Christ, the pearl of great price, really is. If only you could see it, if only you could sense it, then you'd see the great need to cast all else away. But I wonder, as you've read this parable perhaps before, if, like me, you've been intrigued by something that doesn't quite seem to work. This merchant man, seeking goodly pearls, when he found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and that is a very comprehensive all, sold all that he had and bought it. And so now picture that trader. There he is. He's got rid of his pearl collection. He no longer owns a home. He's got rid of every item of clothing except that which he's standing up in. He's got no other resources. All he's got is a pearl. It's a big one. And he's going to carry that around. Well, how is that going to be of any practical use to him? How is he going to live? Just walking around holding a pearl. And it's always intrigued me. Well, you know that these parables are here to teach us spiritual lessons. Do you know, here, the spiritual lesson is actually easier to see and to understand than it is to see in the parable. And I can explain it far better by focusing on the spiritual dimension than focusing on the parable. There he is, just holding a pearl. It's as simple as this. If you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you have everything. With him, you get absolutely everything that you need. Do you desire the forgiveness of your sins? If you have Christ, you get the forgiveness of your sins. You get your interest in him secures for you that every one of your sins is pardoned and forgiven and washed away. Remarkable. With Christ, you are assured of heaven. That was a goodly pearl of which we spoke. But in and of itself, it's insufficient. But you possess Christ. And you know that you're going to be with him one day in that glorious heavenly realm. We spoke about pearls. Do you want to have, live an upright moral life? Well, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ, you get a changed character. You get a new heart. You're born again. There's a fresh start in your life. And now, what before were the onerous demands of God's moral law now become your greatest desire and longing to be able to fulfill. And where we spoke of these things being on the outward surface, now they become our life's desire, and from deep within, a great love to please our God and to do those things that we know are right in his sight. Oh, we don't always keep it, but that's our great desire. We're utterly changed with Christ. We get a changed character. Do you want to help others? Well, that's a great thing in and of itself. But you know, if you have Christ, you have in your grasp the greatest means of helping others ever. Because you tell another person what Jesus Christ has done for you. You tell them your experience of how he changed your life and brought you to himself. You tell them and commend the Saviour to them. And they seek him and find him. Well, that's a change not only for this life, but for eternity. And the good that you do to others is the only lasting good that you can be involved in. And you can only do that if you have the Lord Jesus Christ. To have Christ gives you new meaning and purpose. It gives you new aspirations, new desires, and you long to tell others what Christ has done for you. We spoke about the pearl, of being a regular worshipper, devout and religious. Well, to have the Lord Jesus Christ gives real meaning to that worship. It is now your great desire to be among the Lord's people, others who share this experience of possessing the Lord Jesus Christ, the pearl of great price. And now, when I come to worship, oh, the hymns mean so much. I follow the prayers and I can give a hearty amen because I share in all the sentiments that are expressed. The word of God speaks to me and is so wonderful, and I long and desire to have a deeper understanding of it, and it makes that religious observance real and gives real reality to everything that I engage in. And do you know, to have the Lord Jesus Christ means that you have him in every department of your life. We spoke before about things like qualifications, possessions, finance, home, all those things. You know, to have the Lord Jesus Christ is to have his sanctifying influence in every aspect of my life. He is interested in my need for employment, in the decisions that I have to make about the course of my life. And I can ask him, and I can seek his guidance and his blessing and his help. To have the Lord Jesus Christ is to have everything. And you know, so much is that so, that we know of people, I'm sure you do too, who have been stripped of their health, or perhaps have known tremendous poverty. But if they have the Lord Jesus Christ, they have a great joy. They have a peace. There's something about them that enables them even to function and to be joyful, even in the midst of hardship. Yes, to have the Lord Jesus is to have absolutely everything. A couple of things before we close. I wonder, I spoke about pearls being slightly old-fashioned. Is there somebody here and you think, well, this is all very well, but this is a very old-fashioned message? Ah, but it's so relevant and so necessary, even today. Yes, but there's so much in religion that is artificial, like those artificial pearls, devaluing that which is real because it's artificial. And yes, it's true. There is much in the so-called professing church that is wrong. So much where things have gone astray. And so much that is artificial and manufactured. But let me tell you this. You cannot manufacture the Lord Jesus Christ. He cannot be artificially produced. He is the one thing that you need. Oh, don't despise or reject the Saviour simply because there is so much that is false. Look for a church where Jesus Christ is the chief theme, where he is going to be set before you, where he's going to be described to you what he accomplished upon the cross, where it's going to be pressed upon you the need to seek him and to find him and to know him personally. And that's the place where you should go. One final word, and it's here in verse 46. Who, when he had found one pearl of great price, listen to this, went and sold all that he had and bought it. He didn't lose a moment. He didn't put it off till tomorrow. He didn't wait. Immediately, he went and sold everything so that he might possess this one pearl of great price. Do you know that the way you've lived your life is fruitless and worthless, and is only going to lead to eternal loss? Have you tried those pearls, those goodly pearls? Or come to that one pearl of great price. I've tried woefully inadequately to present him before you in something of his beauty and his glory. See him. See him as the one thing that you need, and be prepared to abandon all else so that you might possess him. because to have him is to have everything. Let's pray together.